Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah, daf Chaf. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Bilan Azeich and Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. We begin. We are on Yotes Amud Beis. A couple of big issues that are going to be covered over the course of today. We're going to talk a lot about Iber. We're going to talk a lot about intercalating not the year, but intercalation of the month. We spoke about it already in the past. Daf Yud Ches is where we started this topic of discussion. Let's continue. Let's just pick it up where we left off. You remember the Mishnah told us that after the Basin was Mekash HaChodesh, after the sanctification of the month, so then the Shlichim would go out, messengers would go out to the Bnei Bavel to tell them that the month was sanctified on such and such a date, and such and such a date, etc., etc. They only need to go out 6 months of the 6 months of the year because those 6 months have some activity in it, have some yontiv, some fast day, perhaps just a karban. But in other words, months were needed to be known in terms of when the actual Rosh Chodesh was. As we pointed out when we started the whole discussion back on Yud Ches, there are only two candidates for Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh of any given month can either be either the 30th or the 31st day. A month can either be 29 or 30 days. So we're going to explain more of this over the course of today in terms of why specifically those numbers, but those are the numbers. So given that that's the choice, so every month that we go into has a possibility, at least potential, of either being 30 or 31. So the Shlichim would go out and notify the people that Beis Din was Mekadesh either the 30th day or the 31st day. For purposes of our discussion for the remainder of today, if the Beis Din was Mekash on day 30, that means the previous month was 29 days, and that is what we call Chaser. That's a deficient month. If Beis Din was Mekash HaChodesh on day 31, meaning day 31 turns into Rosh Chodesh, that means the previous month is 30 days, and that's what we call a Malay. So Chaser is a 29-day month, and Malay is a 30-day month.
Did they have a 2-day Rosh Chodesh and a Malay month?
Yeah, back then, no. 2-day Rosh Chodesh is after fixed calendars. That's a fixed calendar phenomenon.
They have 1 year
all the
time.
Yeah. So good. So that's what we learned back in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah taught us that they would only need the messengers post sanctification only need to go out 6 months of the year, either for Yontif or for a fast day or for. A carbon such as carbon Pesach Sheni. The Mishnah noted, we already spoke about yesterday at length, the Gemara's omission, the glaring omission of Tammuz and Teves, even though there are fast days in Tammuz and Teves, and the Gemara dealt with how come the Mishnah doesn't have Shlichim go out in those months as well to notify the people about the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Teves. We spoke yesterday in more in depth regarding, actually I should say now, 2 days ago, we spoke more in depth about the fast days, the four fast days that are that have been dedicated towards the destruction of both by Rishon and by Sheni. We spoke about that. And then we spoke yesterday at length, really the rest of yesterday's daf, was dedicated to a discussion of Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis, on record, dates mostly during the Second Temple period, where salvation, where the Jewish people experienced some sort of Yeshua, some sort of salvation, and declared that as a festive day. Festive in what sense? That you're not allowed to fast, and on some of them you're not allowed to eulogize. Two notable dates on record in Megillas Tanis is Purim and Hanukkah, but there are many other dates as well. The discussion of yesterday's daf really revolved around one basic question. After the destruction of the Second Temple, are the dates recorded in Megillas Tanis, are they still enforced, are they not enforced? Are we nowadays allowed to fast and eulogize on the days mentioned in Megillas Tanis? The Gemara's conclusion is, for the most part, butla. It's been nullified. The only notable exception is Purim and Hanukkah, which are dates on record in Megillas Tanis, but at the same time, we're not allowed to fast and eulogize on Hanukkah, nor in Hanukkah, nor in Purim. I asked that very question yesterday as well. I don't have an answer. I don't. 35 days in total? Okay. Again, canceled doesn't. The word cancel is a little bit strong. It just simply means that we'll note them, but we, in other words, you're allowed to fast and eulogize on those days. Yeah. Okay. But right, can I wouldn't say canceled. Good. That's everything that we've been covering up until now. We're continuing on Yotes Amud Beis 19b, towards the top of the Amud, about 10 lines from the top. The Gemara starts off Al Elu Mimnei Rosh Hashanah. The Altishim Mimnei Takanas Amaradas, an El that would go out because Rosh Hashanah, meaning once we know when the correct day of Elul is, so then we're going to figure later and we're going to do Rosh Hashanah. When are we going to do Rosh Hashanah? Day 30 or day 31? Right, that's a reasonable question, meaning we still don't know. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to explain in just a moment. And then they go out again after Tishrei. Okay, so the Gemara is going to ask a pretty straightforward question, very logical. Kevin, then after Lu'aelo, Atishrei Lamaluhu. So if we are sending messengers out and letting the Jewish people know when Elul has been sanctified as Rosh Chodesh, so that means presumably that people know when Tishrei is, when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is. Now again, as we'll point out in just a second, we don't know. In other words, Elul could go either 29 or 30 days. But let's just assume right now, for our purposes of understanding the Gemara, we know. So if we know, so then they don't have to go out again in Tishrei. Now, v'chitem adoma avru la'elul. So now the Gemara makes a point, which is, well, maybe we don't know. Maybe Elul is not 29 days, but Ibruha. They impregnated Elul, which is a term that the Gemara is going to use time and again to describe a month not being 29 days, but a month being 30 days. Right, again, given that those are the two choices, so a 30-day month is going to be, quote-unquote, the pregnant month, meaning it's the larger month. So maybe Elul 30 days. So, Avahama Rabbi Chinana Bar Kahana Amar Rabbi, or Amar Rav, Mimos Ezra Ve'elach Lamatzina Elul Mu'ubar. So the Gemara says, look, historically it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened in centuries. Going back to Ezra, Ezra built the second temple. So we're going now through the entirety of the second temple. And we're already at the period of the Amoraim, which is a couple hundred years after the destruction of the second temple. So we are at least a half a millennia. At least 500 years have gone where Elul has been a 29-day month. So you're right. Elul could theoretically be a 30-day month, potentially, but just we have enough historical data where we know it doesn't happen. Okay, why it doesn't happen, you have to ask somebody who knows more than I. I'm not saying that out of humility. I mean it. Meaning that for reasons that I don't fully follow, but Elul was never 30-day month. Elul was always a 29-day month. Fine. So if we're just going to go on historical record, so we know once Rosh Chodesh Elul has been notified to the people, so they're going to assume Elul is 29 days, and then on the 30th day is the first day of Tishrei, so now we're back to square one. The question stands. So why do the messengers have to go out after and tell people when Tishrei was sanctified? You think people would know. So the Gemara says, So the elach lamatzino elo morba. So lamatzino dolo itzrech ma'abrin alei. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. 500 years are on record where Elul was the 29-day month, but if Beis Din feels that there was a need to impregnate the month of Elul and add another day, they'll do it. And if they're going to do it, well, we got to let people know. So the Gemara says, Hamakalka Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, now look at what you just did to Rosh Hashanah. Meaning that once Beis Din makes a decision, an executive decision, that they're going to take Elul and not make it a 29-day month, but a 30-day month. So now people out in the sticks who are not going to be privy to this information are going to be celebrating Rosh Hashanah on the wrong day. To which the Gemara's response is, fine. Mutav titkalko Rosh Hashanah v'lo yitkalko kulo mo'ados. Okay, fine. You're going to be sacrificing Rosh Hashanah, but at the same time, we don't want the mistake to be perpetuated, meaning you're right. By Beis Din now making an executive decision, and by turning Elul from a 29-day to a 30-day month, you're right. People are not going to be able to know which is the correct day of Rosh Hashanah. Agreed. But at least now that Beis Din has made the decision, the executive decision, of turning Elul into 30 days, let the people know, have the messengers go out, tell the people, look, you thought Yom Kippur was supposed to be on the 10th day of the month? It's been pushed off a day. And so, Achanam, the Gemara says, correct. Rosh Hashanah has been, quote-unquote, mikulkal for the Jewish people living outside of Yerushalayim, but at least the rest of the Moadus will work out. In fact, the Gemara says, if you read the Mishnah carefully, you actually see this in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, why do I send out the messengers? Because of takanas hamoados. Right? Tikkun, a correction, meaning that if in the event that Elul was turned into a 30-day month, now the people have to be corrected. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says takanas hamoados. Okay, shma minah. The Gemara says that's fine. That's the story in terms of why we're going to send out the shlichim both after Elul and after Tishrei. So historically, Elul will only have 29 days. That's the historical data. But if necessary, Elul will have 30 days. Another notable omission in our Mishnah, an interesting notable omission, and that is, what if there's another Adar? Adar 2, okay? Approximately every 3 years, another Adar is added. Okay, we spoke about this already a lot during this Masechta. We'll speak more about it. But another Adar is added. So if we have an Adar Sheni that's added, shouldn't the Shlichim go out? Maybe yes, maybe no. But it is interesting that the Mishnah doesn't mention it, and the Gemara notes, yeah, the Mishnah didn't mention it. Why didn't the Mishnah mention it? So, Delo Kirebi. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, our Mishnah is not following like Rebbe. Why? The Tanya will enter the Bryce Rebbe, Amr, and Misabra, Shana Yotzin, Afal Adar Shenim, Imne Apurim. So Rebbe's of the opinion that if there's another Adar, so we have the messengers have to go out. And what's their message to everyone? It's very simple. This month that we're going into is not Nisan. It's now Adar. And furthermore, not only is it Adar, but you need to know when to celebrate Purim correctly, so it's going to be Adar Sheni.
But they celebrate Purim twice then?
And they would have celebrated Purim twice, correct. And the first one, I guess, will be practice. Right? Practice for the second one? But you're correct. So, Lema Bahakim Iflingi. So the Gemara now wants to know, fine. Rebbe's position, I think we can all say, understood. If there's a second Adar, the people need to know, so they send the messengers out to let everyone know that there was an Adar Rishon, there's now an Adar Sheni, and what the correct beginning of Adar Sheni is, so that everyone now knows that 14th day of Adar Sheni, we're going to be taking out our Megillas and reading the Megillah and celebrating Purim. So, Lema Ba'akim Ifilgi, the Marsa of a Kalmitzvah Sanagas Besheni no Hagas Berishon, or Marsa of a Kalmitzvah Sanagas Besheni no Hagas Berishon. So the Gemara suggests, well, I think I know what's at odds between Rebbe's position and the Tanakhama's position. When we say Tanakhama, we mean our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the Gemara is assuming that our Mishnah does not send out messengers for Adar Sheni, if there's an Adar Sheni. What's the explanation? So possible explanation number one, says the Gemara, is whether or not, which is the celebrated Adar. Maybe the one position is that any of the mitzvahs that are knowing on the second month could be observed on the first month as well. Meaning, ostensibly, you could choose either first Adar, second Adar. They're both Adars. So,
but it's going to position for Pesach. That's a big
thing. Okay, wait, I'll get to that. That's a great question. I'll get to it. Mar Savar Kol Mitzvos in August Besheni and August Berishon. And presumably, Rebbe's position is no. If there's a second Adar, so the observed Purim can only be done on the second Adar, not the first Adar. So that's why the witnesses have to go out to let everyone know that there's a second Adar. That's the Gemara's suggested explanation. The Gemara immediately rejects. Lo, de kuli ama mitzvos enogas b'sheni enogas b'rishon. The Gemara's conclusion is no. If there's a second Adar, Purim is observed properly in the second Adar, not in the first Adar. You'll see when we get to the Masechta Megillah coming up next. Right? Is Megillah next? Yeah. Okay. One of the four Prakim Masechtas. Okay, let's say Megillah is next. Anyway, we'll see that shortly. But anyway, the second Adar is the observed Adar. So the Gemara says, that's not the issue. You know what the issue is? It's that when there's another Adar that's added, how many days are in that month? So the Gemara says, that's subject to a debate. D'tanya, Kamar Ibur Shana. How much is Ibur Shana? The question over here is a really simple question. When we're adding another month, so that extra month, is that a fixed month or can that also be a variable? So the Gemara says, Lamed Yom. So according to the Tanakhama, it's 30 days. According to the Tanakhama, it is fixed. It is always going to be 30 days. And Rashi ben Gamliel Omer Chodesh. Rashi ben Gamliel says it's a Chodesh. Right? That's not a number. Maishna Lamed Yade Chodesh Nami Yade. The Gemara's original assumption is that when Rashi ben Gamliel says Chodesh, he means 29 days. So Amar Papa, no. Manda Amar Chodesh, Ratzah Chodesh, Ratzah Shloshim. No. The position of Chodesh means it's a variable. It could either be Chodesh, which is 29, or it could be 30. So now it's a variable. Now we understand. Now we totally get it. Meaning that, according to the Tanakhama, so Adar is going to be fixed. So if Adar is going to be fixed, and the second Adar is going to be fixed, so then I don't need witnesses to go out. Because we know exactly how long that second Adar is going to be. And if we know how long the second Adar is going to be, so then we don't need any shlichim to tell us. However, according to Rebbe, Adar, the second Adar now is a variable, and since it's a variable, so therefore we need the shlichim to go out. Okay. The question that Ben asks is one that needs some sort of response, and that is the following: there is an opinion in the Gemara that if there's a second Adar, we're not going to send witnesses out. We're not going to send witnesses out. That's a little bit strange. Meaning, the Jewish people, don't they have to be notified in mass that this next month coming up is not Nisan? Meaning, isn't it a little bit strange now that we have a month coming up, we don't know what it's going to be, it could be Nisan, it could be the second day of Adar, according to our Mishnah, we're not going to send witnesses out for that. Okay, and the only question is whether or not when we add another Adar, is it a fixed month, is it a variable month? But in other words, for just a simple information of whether the next month is going to be Nisan or not Nisan, so the Gemara says to that, we're not going to send people out. So Tosos is bothered by this very question, and third Tosos down on the Amud, and Tosos explains as follows. Here's going to be the rationale of the people en masse. The Yesh Lamer, just reading the answer of Tosos. Tosos asks this question: Kaven deshluchim yotzim al Nisan mi meila yada kishiyagir rosh chodesh vein shluchim yotzim imkain hashana meuberes. So Tosos says, here's basically how the system works. If there's a second Adar, according to our Mishnah, we're not going to send out witnesses, and the lack of witnesses is also information. Because think about it, says Tosfos. Let's say we celebrate Adar, we finish the month of Adar, and now we go into the next month. If the next month is Nisan, and you're living out in the sticks, you know what you should expect? The Shlichim. Meaning, they then send Shlichim out for Nisan. That's as we established already in our Mishnah. So now, we just finished the first Adar, and now we're going into the next month, and usually, let's say the Shlichim arrive by day 6. I'm just throwing out a number. Let's say Shlichim arrived by day 6. Day 6 come and gone. Okay, let's give it one more day. Day 7, come and gone. By lack of Shlichim, says Tosfos, now there's only one deduction. Well, if this month was Nisan, Shlich would have come. The fact that the Shlich hasn't arrived now lets us know that this month now that we're celebrating is not Nisan, but rather it's Adar Sheni. Tosfos says that's how the system would work.
Take into account people who may live out a longer than 2 week distance from Rosh
Hashanah. Right, so
maybe leaving to go.
Well, if they're not basing their holidays on the Shlichim, so then meaning that they're going to
not find them. If they're like 3 week distance from Rosh Hashanah, and they
right.
to leave together.
Correct. So then, right. So they don't agree. It's not going to be a perfect system, but Tosfos says that's how the system works. So it is interesting. It comes out now that according to Tosfos, that the lack of information or a lack of message is going to be indicative of whether or not this next month is going to be Nisan or it's whether it's going to be Adar Sheni. Okay, look, it's, you know, obviously it's a system all predicated on, you know, just all information is going to be delivered, is going to be delivered on foot.
How do you count the time then? If you don't have the indication of when you actually start the second
No, because according to our the time of our Mishnah, it's all fixed. The month of Adar are fixed. It's not variable. And because it's not variable, so we'll know. In other words, once they told us when Adar Rishon is, so we'll know the Adar, we'll know the second Adar, it's fixed in. And okay, good. No, that's not going to be enough information. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Heid Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mishim Kala Kedisha Yerushalayim Al Shnei Adarim. And now the Gemara over here is going to bring in a number of opinions in terms of when there's an Adar, when there's a second Adar, so how many days are going to be in those months. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi testifies amongst the holy members of Yerushalayim, we've seen this kind of expression before, so that when it's two Adar, Shemekadishin Oso B'yami Boreihem, so you Mekadish them on the Iber. What does that mean, on the Iber? It means on day 30. Okay, Yom Iburim is a reference to day 30. Why? Why is day 30 called Yom Iber? Because that really is the day of manipulation. Meaning that, again, working with the assumption that a month can either be 29 or 30 days, and that means that when you get to day 30, you really have an option. Day 30 means either today could be Rosh Chodesh, I mean the previous month was 29, or we're going to extend it. And as we'll discuss, we're going to discuss it today, in today's daf. Beis Din manipulates. Don't quote out of context, but Beis Din, with factors involved, will manipulate. So the 30th day is called Yom Ippur because that really is the day of manipulation. So the Gemara says that if there are two Adars, so the Mekadosh on Yom Ippur, which means that Mekadosh each Adar on the 30th day. Or, to put it simpler, each Adar is going to be 29 days. Lamemra, the Gemara makes exactly this point. Dechaser navdinan, malei an lo avdinan, that according to this testimony of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when there's a double Adar, each one is going to be 29 days. Lafuke medadarsh of Nachman bar Chisa, heid Rav Simai mishum Chagai Zechariah Malachi, and then the Gemara quotes another opinion, which goes all the way back to Chag Zechariah Malachi. I cannot imagine how anyone would argue with this position, being that it's, first of all, a very ancient position, and it goes back to the Nevi'im. So, but, and this position is, Ashnei Adarim, Shem Rasal, Asosin, Shnei Malayim, Osin, Shnei Chaser, and Osin, Echad Malav, Echad Chaser, Osin, V'kachayino, and Begola. So, both of them are variables, meaning Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are both variables. And they both can either be malay, they could both be chaser, one malay and one chaser. Umishum Rabbeinu Amar, la'olam echad malay ve'echad chaser, ashiv edalacha, shehuk v'rosh chodesh b'zmano. And then they quoted b'shem Rabbeinu. When the Gemara just simply says the word Rabbeinu, it's a reference to Rav. So when it says Rabbeinu, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, that really, echad malay ve'echad chaser. That in the event that you have a second Adar, so one is going to be Malay and the other one's going to be Chaser, unless you know otherwise. Shachle la Mar Ukva, they sent the following inquiry to Mar Ukva, Adar Samach Lenisan, La Olam Chaser. The Adar that is juxtaposed to Nisan is always going to be a Chaser month. So Mesa Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, I'm sorry, is this a good place to pause for a moment? First of all, allow me to breathe. And secondly, okay, that's one. And secondly, yeah. Okay, so again now, in a double Adar scenario, so there are two basic issues that we have dealt with in the Gemara. Number one, are we sending our shlichim for that Adar Sheni? So interestingly enough, that's machlokas. The Tan of our Mishnah says no, and Rebbe says yes. And explanation is a couple of explanations the Gemara offered. And the other big issue that the Gemara says is, simply put, when there are two Adars, so how many days is each Adar going to have? Is it going to have, are they both flexible, or is it going to be fixed? And again, that also is open for a machlokas in the Gemara. Now you ask me who the halacha follows. The truth of the matter is that it's important to know, but for us it's academic because our calendars are fixed. So we work with the fixed calendar, so for us, this information is academic. I don't mean academic; it's Torah. But we obviously operate with a fixed calendar. Shachul Mar Ukva. Okay, let's start again. Five lines from the bottom of the Amud, and now the Gemara is going to first make a statement by Mar Ukva, and the Gemara is going to significantly challenge the statement. Adar Samach LeNisan, the Adar that's next to Nisan. Okay, so in other words, it could be one Adar, right? Most of the time, it is. And then, about every third year, there are two Adars. But whichever it is, whichever the Adar is, which is contiguous to Nisan, is going to be L'olam Chaser. It's going to be a Chaser month. 29 days. So the Gemara says, that's difficult now to understand. Mesa Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, I'm going to challenge you based on the following. This is the Mishnah coming up in tomorrow's Daf. The Mishnah in tomorrow's Daf, right, Chafal from Beis, is that we have witnesses going to Yerushalayim to testify about the new month. Now remember, as I mentioned yesterday, we're working a little bit backwards. Previously, the first Mishnah that we discussed back on Yud Ches talked about messengers going out post-sanctification. The Mishnah that we're going to deal with on tomorrow's Daf talks about the actual witnesses who are testifying that they saw the new moon. The testimony of the new moon is going to occur, obviously, not. It's not post-sanctification, it is sanctification. That's Kiddush. That's the sanctification of the month, where the witnesses are going to Yerushalayim and telling the Beis Din, we saw the new moon, the crescent of the new moon. So being that May, so the Gemara says, the Mishnah will tell us in tomorrow's Daf, that for 2 months of the year, these witnesses can override the Shabbos. Meaning that if they need to, let's say they live outside of Tchum, let's say they need to be carried in. Okay, we'll give a number of scenarios in terms of what Chil Shabbos means, but they could override the Shabbos to run to Beis Din to say that they saw the new moon. And the Mishnah will tell us in tomorrow's Daf that they do so for the months of Tishrei and the month of Nisan. Tishrei and Nisan, why are they so important? Meaning, in contradistinction to the other 10 months of the year? So the answer is, because in Tishrei Nisan, we have Yontif. Those are the months with Yontif. As opposed to all other 10 months. There's no Yontif in the other 10 months. Now you'll say Shavuos, but we all know already, Shavuos is not contingent on the month. Shavuos is totally contingent on Pesach. Fine. So for those 2 months, so the witnesses have the right and the obligation to override the Shabbos. That's the mission we'll see tomorrow's daf. The Gemara over here is bothered for a very simple reason. Let's think about this. We know that Adar is always 29 days. That's what Mar Ukva said. We know that Adar is always 29 days. So if Adar is always 29 days, so then the witnesses need to override the Shabbos? We know. So the Gemara says, "Al shnei chadash mechalas haShabbos, al nisan v'al tishrei." Iyamar bishlam zimnen mal zimnen chaser mishum hachi mechalalinan. If Adar is a variable month, so then totally understood. Witnesses have to come because Adar can either be 30 or 31 days. Sorry, let me say that better. Adar could be either 29 or 30 days, and then Nisan could either be day 30 or day 31 of Adar. So I get it, but if Adar is always going to be a deficient month, a chaser of 29 days, I'm a chalalina. So then, what would be the purpose of witnesses coming and overriding the Shabbos? But the Gemara over here provides a fundamental answer, an answer that we're going to be hearing again and again over the course of these next couple of days in the Daf. So the Gemara says, "Mishum de mitzvah lekadosh al ri'iyah," because there's a mitzvah to sanctify through ri'iyah, meaning that there's a process, and part of this process is a mitzvah, and the way that we're sanctifying the month is having witnesses actually make visual confirmation that they saw the new moon, coming to court and testifying that they saw. So even if we know, quote-unquote, that Adar is going to be 29 days, and even if we know that the next day, the 30th day, is going to be on a Shabbos, and so we get it, Adar is going to be 29 days, next day is going to be the beginning, the first day of the next month of Nisan. We get it. But there's still a process, and that process is a mitzvah, and therefore witnesses are going to be overriding the Shabbos in order to come and testify.
If they use this process, the thing is that, you know, both Pesach and Sukkot, the way they are, you have to see a full moon, right?
There's no requirement to see a full moon. You're right, that's what happens astronomically, but there's no requirement.
But I mean, you can verify the day by seeing the full moon.
All right, but the full moon is whatever. Let's discuss that later. But there's no requirement to do so. So the Gemara says, okay. So Amar of Nachman Afanami Tanina. I missed two important words. Ikadamri. We're going to now have a second version of this discussion. Amar of Nachman Afanami Tanina. Where again we go back to the statement of Shachul Amar Ukva, where he says that the month that is the other before Nisan is always a deficient month. It's always 29 days. And now in this section of the Gemara, now actually we support that statement. Amar of Nachman Afanami Tanina. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Al Sheni Ashne Chadash Mechal Nes HaShabbos, Al Nisan Val Tishrei. For 2 months we're Mechal Shabbos, Nisan and Tishrei. Iyamar Bishlam Alolam Chaser. So again, if the Adar going into Nisan is always going to be 29 days, Mishum Hachim Mechalin and the Mitzvah Lekash Lariyah. So then I understand why the witnesses are going to override the Shabbos. Because even though we know, but still there's a process. And the process is going to require the witnesses to come and to testify. But if Adar is a variable, am I mechalalinan? So then there's no need to be mechal Shabbos. Because if Adar is a variable, so then we can always avoid chil Shabbos. Here's what's going to happen. Let's say the 30th day of Adar falls down on Shabbos. So basically we tell the witnesses, hey, look, guys, why don't you keep the Shabbos? Shomer Shabbos. And in terms of the first day of Nisan, we can always push it off to tomorrow. So, the Gemara says, that's fine if day 30 falls on Shabbos. But what if day 31 falls on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, the mitzvah lekadosh al ri'iyah. So now, once again, the witnesses are going to be overriding the Shabbos. Why? Because there's a process. And part of the process is having witnesses come and testify, and being that that's part of the process, so that's why the witnesses are going to come and override the Shabbos. Okay, there has been a glaring problem with this argument of the Gemara, both in the first and the second version, and if it's been bothering you, it should be, and that is that the Gemara on both times has now concluded, well, you know why the witnesses come and override the Shabbos? Because mitzvah lekadosh es al ri'iyah. Because there's a process where the witnesses have to see the new moon and sanctify based on the testimony of the witnesses. If this is true, so then why are we limited to 2 months? Meaning, why then have this whole discussion revolve around Nisan and Tishrei because of Moed? This would be true all 12 months, all 12 Rosh Chodeshes. And the Gemara now is going to ask this very question. It doesn't make sense. Mesiv Rav Kahana. Kesha HaMikdash Kayam, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, Mechal Nafal Kulam, Imnei Tekanos HaKarbon. So then the witnesses come, and they override the Shabbos. They're going to violate the Shabbos on every Rosh Chodesh, that they need to, obviously, meaning doesn't have to be, but if they need to, they'll violate the Shabbos on every Rosh Chodesh, because, you know what Rosh Chodesh means? There's an additional carbon brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And that additional carbon is the carbon Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So witnesses have to come. But the Gemara says, but let's think about this. Why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? Meaning, if your argument was a sound argument, that mitzvah lekadosh al ri'iyah, so that argument should stand by itself. That argument should mean that with or without a Beis HaMikdash, we should have witnesses coming and testifying, and if necessary, overriding the Shabbos for every given month. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, well, when there was the Beis HaMikdash, so then witnesses will override the Shabbos. Even if there isn't a Beis HaMikdash, I don't understand. So, now, that basically the Gemara says, now that we've removed the argument of mitzvah lekadosh al ri'iyah, so now we're back to basically, is it fixed or if it's variable? Well, if either it's fixed, like Mar Ukva was arguing, so then I don't understand. Then why do I have to override the Shabbos? Well, just simply no. That the 30th day of the month of Adar is day one of Nisan. But if it's a variable, so then I understand the need for witnesses to override the Shabbos. So to Yufta, the Gemara says, Mar Ukva's position seems to be a rejected position, meaning one that is unsupportable. Okay. Kiyasa Ula Amar Avrula Elo. Ula comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he notifies the community Avrula Elo. So they impregnated Elul. They turned Elul from a 29-day month to a 30-day month. So Amar Ula Yaday Chavran Bavlai my Tivusa Avdina Ba'adayu. So the Gemara says the Babylonians, do they understand what consideration was taken on their behalf? My Tivusa. So the Gemara says, yeah. Why is that a consideration? Meaning, why is that a good thing? So, Ula Amar Mishum Yiraka, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Amar Mishum Masaya. So the Gemara over here says, look, as we pointed out earlier, Elul, generally speaking, in other words, if you look at historical data, Elul was always Malay. But if necessary, Elul could also be made. Did I say Malay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was also trying to listen to myself. Elul. Okay, Elul is always chaser. Sorry. Elul is always chaser. Elul is always 29 days, which means that the first day of Tishrei would be the 30th day of Elul. Day 30 is day 1 of Tishrei. The Gemara now is saying that if necessary, and this is what Ula was testifying, if necessary, Beis Din will take Elul, turn it into a 30-day month, and that means the 31st day is going to be the first day of Tishrei, and the Gemara says there are two considerations of why Beis Din would do that. One is because of vegetables, and the other is because of death. Now, putting them side by side, vegetables and death, one would think that death is somewhat, whatever that means, which we'll explain in just a moment, death seems to be a more serious consideration. The Gemara says no, but both are significant considerations. My Beinayu. So the Gemara says now, just in terms of understanding that there would be let me first pause for a moment and explain each position. First, let's explain vegetables. What does that mean, vegetables? Now, keep in mind, vegetables are a disaster without refrigeration, right? Vegetables pick from the ground, that's it. They have a very limited shelf life. they're going to wilt. So if we have now Rosh Hashanah falling out on either a Wednesday or a Friday, so that means, well, I know, right, the Sunday will hold in abeyance. But if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Wednesday or Friday, so that means that 10 days later Yom Kippur is going to fall out either on a Friday or on a Sunday. And we made this point before, but that becomes a bit of a disaster. Because Shabbos and Yom Kippur back to back, so Shabbos and Yom Kippur, that means that you're going to have a 48-hour stretch in which you can't do any malacha and can't pick vegetables out of the ground. And what's going to be with the vegetables now? They've been sitting outside the ground for over 48 hours. You get to the end of Yom Kippur, your vegetables are going to be gone. Okay, and you're going to lose an important part of your diet. Okay, that's the vegetable consideration. And the death consideration is that, right, and God forbid somebody dies at the beginning of this 48-hour period. So that means that the mace, that the deceased is going to go 48 hours without burial.
But in the last Masechet, you said that, you know, you have non-Jews buried
Yom Tov, but not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, in this regard, Yom Kippur and Shabbos are the same. Yom Tov, you can do that, but not Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, so those are two different considerations in terms of why it is that Beis Din, if necessary, will manipulate the calendar so that Rosh Hashanah will not fall out neither on a Wednesday or on a Friday. To which the Gemara says, right now the Gemara is thinking these are two mutually exclusive reasons. That doesn't have to be. The Gemara is going to come around on this point. Meaning it could be that both considerations are important, but right now the Gemara thinks it's mutually exclusive, and therefore the Gemara asks the question of my Beinayu. Well, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Yom Kippur Shechalios Achar Shabbos. Well, let's see, Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday. So from a vegetable consideration, not so bad, because we're not eating that Sunday. Okay, it's Yom Kippur, we're fasting. So now, if we're fasting in Yom Kippur, so great. So Shabbos will have all our vegetables, and they'll be fresh and good and fine. And as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, yeah, the vegetables are going to wilt. Okay, we're not eating anyway. And when we get to the end of Yom Kippur, and after Ne'ilah, and after Ma'ariv, we'll go out and we'll pick new vegetables out of the ground. So if Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday and vegetables was the only consideration, that wouldn't be so bad. But death and decomposition of the body, so that doesn't matter whether Yom Kippur falls on a Friday or on a Sunday. You're going to go into a 48-hour period where I cannot do burial, and that obviously becomes a problem. And then the Gemara just simply makes the point, which we made, which is that you could just simply pluck the vegetables out of the ground on Sunday night post Yom Kippur. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to wonder, you know, these two reasons that are given are not, they don't have to be mutually exclusive, meaning the one who endorses the vegetable consideration, death is also consideration. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. But let's consider Yom Tov, where Yom Tov is contiguous to Shabbos, meaning Yom Tov is either on a Friday or on a Sunday. So now the Gemara says, look, if you have Yom Tov before or after Shabbos, you can't pick vegetables out of the ground for 48 hours. But if you have Yom Tov before or after Shabbos, so now, as Ben remembers correctly, we learned back in Masechta Beitza, I can ask a non-Jew to do the burial in Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, again, working with the assumption that these two reasons are mutually exclusive, the Gemara says, you don't have to think that way. So the Gemara says, why not, for the one who considers death as an issue, why not vegetables? So the Gemara says, "Efshar bechamimei," because you know what you could do on Yom Tov? Even if your vegetables are wilted, you throw it into the pot, you make vegetable soup. The Gemara says there is a way on Yom Tov, even if Yom Tov is Sunday, there is a way of resurrecting your vegetables on Yom Tov. There is no way, I'm going to make the very poor joke, there is no way of resurrecting the dead on that Yom Tov after the Shabbos. So I hachi maishna lididan, so afilu didu nami. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So there are two considerations, the vegetable consideration and our need to bury the dead consideration. So the Gemara then says, why is Ula saying, you know, look what they did after you in Bavel. Like, in Eretz Yisrael, Shouldn't there be the same considerations? Lididan chavila alma, lididulo chavila alma. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. It's cooler in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara chavilan alma, meaning in Bavel it is hot. It is just, it's brutal. Bavel is sunk in the ground. Bavel has no mountains, no wind. Right, we experience a little bit of that here in our climate. So it's just hot. So therefore, without the manipulation of Beis Din, so then what's going to happen in Bavel is we're going to have 2 days of really hot weather, and that's bad for the vegetables, and Rachman Lefslan, it's going to be bad if there's a need to bury somebody. In Eretz Yisrael, a little bit cooler, a little bit easier. Any of the Gemara says this is true. Vatani Rabbi Rabbi Bar Shmuel Yochel Kishem Shem Avin Sashan Letzorach Kach Ma'avin Sachorish Letzorach Tamalam Achorish Azelachem Rosh Chodeshim Kazei Ra'ei VeKadesh. The Gemara now questions fundamentally: how can you manipulate Elul? What are we talking about? Manipulation of the month? Witnesses will see the new moon. Witnesses will come to Beis Din. Beis Din will sanctify. End of story. Right. Meaning, what are we talking about manipulation? Amar Rava Lokasha Kan LaAvro Kan LaKadosho. So the Gemara, Rava's response is there is room for manipulation. Meaning, even given the fact that that there is a process in terms of how we sanctify the month with witnesses coming and seeing, but there's room for manipulation. V'hachi kamar. And Rava says, and this is how we're going to understand the statement. Yachu kishim shema abrim esashana v'esachor shetzorach kach mekashan esachor shetzorach tam. Alam rachor shetzeh lachem kazeh ra'ev v'kadesh. We're going to make a distinction between being ma'abr versus being mekadesh. What does that mean? It means, ma'abr means extension. If we need to extend a month, no problem. And in terms of a manipulation standpoint, it's easy. I mean, relatively. Witnesses are coming on day 30. Hey, we saw the new month. We say to the witnesses, why don't you have a seat, right? And here's some food. Why don't you come back tomorrow? Okay, so in other words, that's me'aber. And for that, no problem. Mikadesh, no. What does that mean? And I know this is going to sound strange. I'm showing a little bit of awareness in terms of how strange this sounds. Basically, Mekadesh means we haven't seen the new moon yet. Hey, witnesses, come here. Do us a favor. You saw the new moon. Witnesses are looking at us like, well, what do you? No, trust us. You saw the new moon, right? So what Rav is saying is that for the purposes of being me'aber, that there's room for manipulation. That basin can basically tell the witnesses, have a seat, come back tomorrow. Let's hear your testimony tomorrow. But vis-a-vis being mikdash, that we cannot manipulate. And I think to us, it's intuitive. Because basically what we're going to ask the witnesses to do is fabricate a testimony. Now, v'chiha...
Well, we fabricate because it sounds like some people may have seen it.
Okay, fine. Right, okay. V'chi hadam Rav Yishuv ben Levi ma'im em al-eidem al-achor shenira b'zman al-avro v'ein ma'im al-eidem al-achor shalon nira b'zman al-kadsho. And the Gemara points out, this is exactly what Rav Yishuv ben Levi says. Me'aymin. You'll hear that term a lot. Intimidation. Will intimidate the witnesses to basically delay. In other words, they're coming on day 30, they're saying, hey, we saw the new moon. So we tell the witnesses, maybe you didn't. Okay. Come back tomorrow. But to go the other direction, where we're going to now encourage his witnesses to have seen the new moon, that we're not going to do. Good. So good. This is Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi's position as well. The Gemara says not everyone agrees to this. Ini vashalach le Rabbi Yehuda nisi le Rabbi Ami have a yad nishkol yamav shel Rabbi Yochanan ha'im alam dom ha'im emaledim al chodesh lo nir bezman olakadisho alfa pishalo ra'uhu yomru ra'inu. Rav Yochanan, oddly enough, goes the other direction. Rav Yochanan says that we will encourage his witnesses to, quote-unquote, see the new moon. Right? You saw the new moon. That's Rav Yochanan's position.
So they're professional witnesses? I mean,
I'm not going to have a good answer to your question. Meaning, I'm smiling because I realize also how strange this whole discussion is. Amar Abaye Lokasha Abenisam V'Tishrei Habishar Yarchei. The Gemara says it depends. Meaning, for Nisan and Tishrei, for purposes of manipulation, we'll go in both directions. We'll manipulate in both directions. But for all other months, we'll only delay the witnesses. We're not going to encourage the witnesses to have, quote-unquote, seen them in the new month. Rav Amar Hani Dini Rabbi Bar Shmuel Acherim Hi. This position of Rav Bar Shmuel really supports the position of Acherim. This is an opinion that in the Gemara that we saw already a number of times together, recently, earlier in our Masechta we saw it, and that is, we saw back in Sukkah, which is Acherim Omrim Ein Ben Atzeres Latzeres Ve'Ein Ben Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Ela Dalet Yamin Bavad Ve'Im Ha'is Hashanah Muberes Chamisha. You can basically count on it. Count on what? Every month is going to be an alternating month. We'll go 30, 29. If you operate in that fashion, and you do that 12 months over, you will arrive at the number 354. 354, take out 350, which is perfectly divisible by 7, and that means that basically now, 4 more days ahead. You can go from year to year, and let's say Rosh Hashanah in the previous year was Sunday, next year it's going to be Thursday. Okay, and that's a constant. And what if there's another month that's added? If there's another month that's added, so that other month is going to give us 29 days, the second Adar. Which means then 28 days makes another 4 perfect weeks, and then we're going to add just simply another day. And you do that in a constant rate, and if you're doing that in a constant rate, you're good. In other words, not you're good, that's just simply the way it's done. And if that's true, then there's no variable, then there's no variation, and Adkan. Rav Dimi min Ardam Masni Ibcha. Ma'aimim ala Eidam ala Chodesh ala Nir Bezmano la Kacho. Vein ma'aimim ala Eidam ala Chodesh ala Nir Bezmano la Avro. Rav Dimi min Ardam does not agree with Rava. He does not allow the witnesses to be delayed, but just the opposite. Rav Dimi min Ardam says that we will encourage his witnesses to quote unquote see the moon, but not go the other direction. My Taima, interesting, the Gemara says, and the explanation for that is what? Because in the event that the moon is visible to everybody, and what's happening now, Beis Din is kind of just letting it go. So the public reaction is going to be, what's Beis Din doing? Right? We can all see the new moon, and for whatever reason, Beis Din is postponing and delaying. That doesn't make sense. Masha Ein Kane. If let's say the witnesses come and quote unquote saw the moon. Well, everyone else is going to say, well, it must have been there, just I guess we didn't see it. So it's lo mechze kishurka. It does not look as egregiously as a fabrication. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Let's do a little bit more this morning. I know we're getting on to the difficult stuff, but let's just tackle some of the basics. Amar Shmuel, yechin letkuna lekule gola. I can institute the months for the entire exile. We know that Shmuel was an astrologer, par excellence. Shmuel was a what we would call a scientist. I mean, I'm not in love with that term. But in other words, he knew the natural world. He was an observer. He was a doctor. He was a physician. He was an astronomer. He said another place in Shas that the city of Nahar Dab, my city, I know like I know the stars. I know the stars in the sky like I know the streets of Nahar Dab. In other words, he based on his knowledge of astronomy, basically, if necessary, I'll know exactly when Beis Din will be Mekadesh every month. Good. So Amalei Abba Avu de Rabbi Simlai Lishmuel. So now, so funny. The Gemara always telegraphs its punch. Well, after Shmuel makes a statement like that, you know where the story is going to go. So the Gemara says to Shmuel, you know so much, but can you explain the following? Yada Mar Hai Milsa De Tanya B'Soda Ibor. Can you explain this passage out of Soda Ibor? What is Soda Ibor? Soda Ibor basically is an ancient document which basically outlines the paths of the stars, the moon, and the sun. It is basically astronomy 101. Do we have Soda Ibor as a document? Not anymore. We don't. In other words, we don't have. We have a selection of it in our Gemara in today's daf, But we don't have it as a document anymore. Nolad kolem chatzos, if conjunction occurred before midday, before 12 noon. Oh, nolad achar chatzos. So, or if conjunction occurs after noon. Do you know what that statement in Sota Ibra means? It's a Shmuel. So Amar Lei. So I think we can all say together with Shmuel, lo. No, I don't know what that statement means in Sota Ibra. So Amar Lei midahalo yadamar. So then they say to Shmuel, okay, a lesson in humility. If you don't know what that passage in Sota Ibra means, so then there's a good chance that you don't know what other passages in Sota Ibra mean. So although you are knowledgeable, right, but let's all agree that you may not know everything. And what we're going to start with tomorrow is basically, now that we're here, now that we are at this point in the Gemara, we have quoted a selection of Sota Ibra, and we're talking now about conjunction. So we're going to now explain the statement in Sota Ibra, the difference between conjunction occurring before midday versus conjunction occurring after midday. Okay, I was going to give a brief astronomy lesson today, and not today. Okay, so tomorrow we'll pick it up, leave it on the board, and tomorrow we'll learn our first lesson in astronomy together.